good morning, everybody. Welcome into What's Up with Coffee. Radio coming to you live here on a Friday morning, getting ready for the weekend. And for those that don't know, I am Sonny Clark from the Couch Potato Sports Show. We take the handoff from Sports Talk with the guys on Saturday morning, and we also do a Sunday morning show called That Being Said, where we talk about the news of the day during football season. It's usually all about football and the games that will be happening on Sunday. But now we are done with football as far as the NFL is concerned. So we'll be talking about other things such as the NBA and NHL and Major League Baseball, all the things leading up to the NFL kickoff for 2013-2014 season. So that's what we'll be doing as far as Couch Potato Sports Show. Make sure that you head on in there and get on out there. Anybody watch the NBA last night a little bit? I'm going to put it out there, folks. Miami Heat's bad mofo. I'm going to tell you right now, the score 110-100, don't look at that score because it really is not any kind of indication of how close that game was. It was worse. And right now, there are not too many teams out there in the East. Well, I'm just going to put it out there. I don't think there's any team out there in the East that can beat the Miami Heat. Let's go ahead and bring on our co-host of this fine program. It is Andrea. Good morning, dear. How are you?
Did I just hear the word unmuted?
Yeah, you did. Unmuted. Unmuted. I didn't do it. It's something within the taping. But, yeah, that's what they
do.
Are
you kidding
now,
me? So. Is that, like, part of the radio station now?
Yeah, so you can so you
it tells
can
me
when
I'm unmuted, so I don't like keep cursing and stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty
so
funny.
You know you're coming in. So good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I had a family emergency on the West Coast, and so just spent like 10 days over there with my grandma. She is sick, so kind of saw her out. And
UTC'd.
What?
UTC'd. You took care of business.
Right, and, I've been excited to talk to you, actually. I was so sad because that day that you were in Vegas, I was so excited. I had just gotten back, and I was, like, ready to talk some Felix Hernandez and, just done a mock draft and all this. So
hey,
I was
before we get to that, let's find out what you think about Kevin Youkilis. Say he's always going to be a Red Sox.
He did?
Yes, he did.
Oh, whoop-de-doo. Okay, that just gives me... You know what? I don't know what it is, but it makes me feel so great right now. It just gave me a huge smile and made me have an overwhelming joy.
I thought that would make you smile. Yeah, so...
That's super great. You know that?
Yeah.
It's funny that you brought up basketball because I spend a lot of time learning about baseball, especially right now, with all the little things going on, trying to learn, like, all the players that are not, from last year and which ones are going to be worthy. I think I'm going to play, I'm going to play in the NFBC this year. So
yeah.
I'm going to play in the league where you draft 50 players.
Wow.
And everybody drafts 50 players. It's an eight-day draft. So, like, you get 8 hours. And it's the cheapest one, for – because since it's my first year, I don't want to spend a whole bunch of money, but I think that, just to see how I do, you don't have to pick up anybody off the waiver all season.
You don't want.
Yeah.
And, like, my biggest thing is that I'm super happy about drafting, but I get, like, kind of burned out, throughout the season sometimes.
Yeah.
People get annoyed at me because I'm not making moves or whatever.
Yes.
Can
this
you hear me?
This might be the right thing for you.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear
okay.
us?
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. So I'm excited about it. And, you don't make any moves throughout the season. You just have a normal team size, but you have all those players on your bench. So you're able to rotate them once a week.
Yes.
You have 50 players total. So I'm learning all about that. But I was actually on Terrell. I ended up on Terrell Owens' blog last night again. And it's funny. I was just thinking about that time we were talking about Terrell Owens' blog, and I don't know how I ended up on that again. Something probably about Kardashian and dude, like, scheming through the airport or whatever and closing down. Who knows how I ended up there? But I end up there for, like, hours at a time. I read all about Michael Phelps' girlfriend, his new girlfriend. and, you know, who's doing what and all kinds of stuff. But it did say some – he. I mean, this guy updates. He must have people working for him because it updates stuff like every minute. Within minutes, it's updated. Talked about Shaq and Kobe getting into a brawl.
Yeah, but is it Terrell Owens, like the regular spelling, or is it something else?
It's called T-E – shoot. Now, see, I just had to look it up because I forgot how to spell it.
T-E-R-R-E-L-L is how you spell his name.
Yeah, but that's not his – okay. See, that's not his blog, though.
No, it's not. I mean, Terrell Owens has his own blog. I think that's one of the guys.
Why didn't they give me a link to it on Google, though?
I'm sorry.
Look on Facebook. Are you still on Facebook?
Yeah, well, I'm on Facebook. I'm
He's on Facebook.
Yeah.
I think that's where I got it the first time, but it's like T-E-R-E-Z.
Yeah, it's not Terrell Owens. It's somebody else. It's actually Terrell Owens has his own website.
Oh, it's not really him?
No, that's not. That's just some side thing. You know, I don't know who runs it, but it's not Terrell Owens himself. Yeah.
So here I am totally lying. See, this is what media does, people. The perfect example of like, but it's really cool, whatever it is. It's called.
Oh, no. It updates pretty well. I read it sometimes. Terrell Owens has his own. Are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Okay, I'm getting a lot of feedback on my phone, but that's
I think
not
it's
right.
Me, dude. It is Therese Owens. It's called.
Yeah.
Let me call you back on my cell phone.
Oh, no. I think it's my phone. I don't think it's your phone.
Okay,
because
well, it's called TerezOwens.com. TerezOwens.com. Is that not him?
No, that's not Terrell Owens.
Cool shit on that site, though, dude. Seriously, there's like updates every minute. There's updates. He likes basketball a lot,
yeah.
And he talks about football. I very rarely ever see him talk about any baseball, but he's always talking. This is how I learned all about the Biogenesis Lab doctor's office in Florida,
mm-hmm.
where the newest list came out with all the steroid users, and I actually like was able to find the actual pictures of the paperwork that they confiscated from this. I love how they just say, you know, a previous employer or a previous employee from this doctor's office just gives this stuff out. I mean, just like nonchalant, you know, no big deal.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking at Terrell Owens right now, and it's a good place to go for rumors. I wouldn't trust everything that's on it, but
no, it's total
rumors and keeping it like that, that's kind of cool.
This is
all
social life. This is like what Tiger Woods is doing, who's dating Michael Phelps. Like, you know, there's even a video of his new girlfriend, and of course I'm interested, right? It's like, how famous does this guy have to be? Some guy says, how famous is this guy that if you have sex with him, you're famous?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a job anymore now for women. So, you know, you hook up with the famous star and you could make a killing.
It's pretty funny. So, I apologize. I actually thought this was Trillo, and it seems like something so much like he would do. I didn't even think twice about it, dude. I really thought it would be him because he's kind of bored. Does he play football for your league that you do play-by-play for, though?
Well, he did. Terrell Owens actually did play for the Wranglers last year until they let him go because he was being stupid. But that's Terrell Owens. So they let him go. But now the team that I do the play-by-play for has changed their name to the Revolution. So it's now the Texas Revolution. But yeah, it was the same Terrell Owens, and it's the same.
Okay, so it's just to let everybody know, TerezOwens.com is not TerrellOwens.com, although it does sound like something that this guy will be capable of doing, so I didn't think twice, and that's just how rumors get started, right, Couch?
I guess that's exactly how they get started, but it is a good site, and I actually have that one saved on some of the things when I'm really bored. I'll go to that one and check that out for some new things to talk about on the show, yeah.
Some dirt.
Yep, it's some good dirt.
It's good
stuff,
too. I mean, you know, if you're going to – nobody's going to ever – it's like wrestling, dude. Nobody admits that they watch wrestling, you know. Nobody's going to admit that they go to Therese Owens and be there for, like, 2 hours, you know, because this is, like, kind of life you have. But we all know we do it, you know.
Yep, absolutely. I'll admit it. I watch wrestling, but then again, I'm weird that way, so I'll admit things like that. So, but anyway. So what's on the agenda for today?
Oh, I was just going to chat with you about some things, like number one, we're doing podcasts on Fantasy Pros 911, so, like, whenever I feel like a rant, I'll be putting a podcast there, and that's where I'll be writing my stuff this year, so.
Ah, okay.
I think it'll be for the, like, I think, I'm not really sure if only premium members can get to my stuff, but I just thought I'd let people know, because I get a lot of questions about, you know, where are you going to write, what are you going to do, get emails all the time, like, I really like your stuff, but I can't figure out where you go. Mm-hmm. I'm just a wanderer.
Yep, and so is Fantasy Pros back up and going and, you know, starting over? So, because I know one time it was kind of, you know, not really up to date, but it seems like it's getting back up to snuff.
Yeah, they actually, like, took it down and redid the whole thing for baseball season. I mean, you know, and during football season, I think anyway, they hired somebody and everything's, you know, everybody understands how to work it. It's kind of confusing when there's a bunch of people involved, but, you know, it seems that there's a lot more stuff there. And so not only me, but, of course, Lenny will do his daily podcast, Box Scores. And then Dennis Farrell, you know, he does Detroit Radio ESPN now. He also has the Fantasy Sideline Show here. And then Nate Tucker and those guys. Dennis will come on and do some podcasts throughout the season too. So, you know, just kind of nice to, well, it's nice for me. I don't really know about anybody else, but I like to rant, you know.
So you got the opportunity to rant and get it all up and ready to go over at fantasypros911.com. Get on over there. I haven't put it up yet. Oh, it's not up yet?
No, it's going to go up today, but when you were in Vegas last week, I actually went to Facebook, and I'm, like, scoping around looking for somebody to talk to about, you know, this kind of stuff, and I found the insider, Steve, and he's from Seattle. He does a show here on Blog Talk, too, and he said, well, we just happen to be doing a mock draft in, like, a couple hours, so if you want to join in and call, we'll do a mock draft live. There were six people, and it was a super fun time, but, you know, you learn stuff. Every time you do a mock draft, that's what they're for, I suppose, but, you know, just little tidbits that I take away from it. I was cracking up, too, because that same day I actually put it on my Facebook page, if you go there. There's a little video from YouTube, and it's it's a cartoon video. It's a mad Yankee fan.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, not at the fact that A-Rod's been doing roids for all these years, but the fact that he can't even do roids right because he never hits in the playoffs. And, like, if he would have done steroids properly like the Red Sox did in 2004, then they would have won a bunch more World Series.
Yes, there you go.
Funny. Hilarious stuff. And all this is for you, you know. I'm like, you know, that one day you don't come. But so then we did the mock draft. But do you want to say why you were in Vegas?
Oh, I was up for a family reunion, and my computer that I had made it impossible for me to get online. So I was, like, out of incommunicado for 4 days, 5 days. Yeah, Wednesday through Monday. So finally when I got back up online, you know, when I got back home, I felt like I was back at home. Boy, it's amazing without, you know, how much you depend upon the computer on the daily basis.
Oh, for real.
Yeah, getting information, reading in. So without the computer, I was actually reading the newspaper, which is amazing in itself. So
we just had a blizzard here, too, again, another one.
Yep.
And our roof of our pool caved in. So, like, the roof is sitting in the pool, and the cell phone and the computer weren't working for days. So
wow.
I had, like, you know, our house phone worked, but what good is a phone? You know, I'm used to, like, being able to do stuff on my phone, all kinds of stuff, pretty much anything I could do on a computer. So, you know, needless to say, there was a couple days there that the blizzard took over. So do you have some stats in front of you? Do you have your web page pulled up with stats?
Well, it depends on who you're talking about and what you're talking about. But yes,
talk about Felix Hernandez, and also I'm going to talk about some draft position with Mike Trout, Joey Votto, you know, baseball stats.
Sure, I can bring those up. Felix Hernandez, I mean, we can talk about that guy. $27 million in his last year. Talk about a back-ended contract right there. But still, you know, that's guaranteed money. And finally, Seattle, doing the right thing, but the
question is... Yay, Coach! You know I wanted to talk to you so bad and shame.
I know you did. And when I read about this, the first person I talked about... But we're still up on the same thing, though, when you're talking about...
Right, I understand.
They had him last year. So I'm glad they spent the money in keeping him. Now the question is, what are they going to do to build around this guy?
Well, they already did, though. They added Mike Morris. They added Kenny Morales. They added several batters.
Yeah, if they're not going to have the back support and the bats, it's not going to do a lot of good.
But they did though. So that's the thing. Well, like you know me, I would never encourage anybody to. I can't even believe people are still. And especially right now in this day and age with A-Rod's contract and stuff, it's like, hello, I mean, it's staring you right in the face what happens. And especially with a pitcher, you just never know when the guy's going to throw out his arm. And
yep.
You just paid the guy, like, more than – and this is a constant problem of these small market – you know, and Seattle's not such a small market team, although they can't – they haven't been able to win. And I think part of it is just bad contracts, bad trades, bad everything. Although I have to say that I've been led to change my mind a little bit about Felix because, well, number one, he's still young. He's just about to hit his prime. It would seem that he's older, Verlander's age, but he's, you know, for at least a good 3 or 4 years, he's pretty solid. And just the fact that of his mound presence, you know, the ability to be able to go out there, win a Cy Young without any run support whatsoever.
Absolutely.
You know, you hear all kinds of excuses from all kinds of pitchers and people saying, you know, he didn't get any run support and he's all pissed off and stuff, and he just never does that. So, like, he told Seattle he wanted to stay there, and they took him up on it. And I don't know if you saw the press conference, like, when he came out and accepted it. He was crying.
Yeah, because...
oh, of course. I know. He's rich, right? But he totally has heart. You know, I like Felix a lot. And I think that I would have rather had them keep Michael Pineda and get rid of Felix, you know, when they did that trade because of the age. You know, but just because it seems like he would have been a little more age, you know, perfect for that team when they were going to be able to, you know, by the time they start to win, is Felix Hernandez even going to be, you know, able to pitch, you know, still pitching good, but the fact that he is able to be there for their young prospects, which are very good prospects, and they did get Michael Morris, they got Kendrys Morales, they have several guys. I can't remember one other player that they got that was a pretty good acquisition, but Seattle's doing good. That was my main point. And, you know, people argue about whether or not they think that it was a good idea, giving him the biggest contract in baseball history for a pitcher.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it just depends upon the franchise, what it's really trying to do. If this team is really trying to contend, it's the right move. But at the same time, we were talking about it. If this team doesn't do anything to back this guy up, that's going to be huge. But here's the deal, okay? That deal includes a conditional eighth-year option should he have elbow or ligament surgery during the length of this deal. So that's one of the huge things about it, because last year's $27 million. So they're definitely trying to look out for themselves as far as that's concerned. But I mean, listen, this is the stats. 2002. Listen, second in the American League in innings pitch, 232. Third in the American League in strikeout, 223. Fifth in the AL ERA, 3.06. Seventh in the AL in WHIP with 1.14, and then second in the AL, in complete games 5. So, you know, and the guy made 19.7 last year. So he was already an expensive dude as it is. But if I'm not mistaken, didn't he win the Cy Young like in 2010? Did I lose you? Hold on.
Phones. And I'm trying to figure out.
I'm sorry. I had to. You popped off and then came back on. I didn't know.
No, my phone died. It did. I went out of the area.
Yeah, so.
So
anyway,
you said he has an eighth-year option.
Yeah, okay. You missed all that. All right, let me bring that back up because he's got an eighth-year option. And the option is that if he needs elbow ligament surgery during the length of that deal, that I don't know what that option is, but the Seattle Mariners have that option. Well,
not till the eighth year, though. So it's
not until the eighth year, exactly.
I mean, how much are you really – well, and you know why they did that? Because actually after the whole thing came out that they were going to do it and sign him and everything, they didn't get the fine print taken care of because he had some, you know, qualms with the doctor, and that's when they put that option in there.
Right.
So even on top of the fact that you're giving a guy – and they were still willing to do this, you know? I mean, I think that Seattle is like, you know – We're gonna go for it, and I think that they've done some really good things. Besides the Nationals, I mean, if you look at what they've done to better their club, they've definitely taken the right moves. As far as, like, the other stuff that I've been, you know, studying, and, you know, I have this huge thing. Like, I'm a big fan right now of Tim Lincecum, and I know that kind of came out of nowhere. But I think we did talk about it somewhat, like, briefly a couple weeks ago. The other day when I was in the draft, Tim Lincecum went so late. Literally, like, I mean, people like Medlin, dude, are going before Lincecum, and I can't even believe it. So I'm doing all this research, and I'm looking at all the articles and the different opinions about Lincecum. And personally, what do you think about Lincecum? And, I mean, you have to say that he's worth taking a chance on in, like, the 7th or 8th or 9th, 10th round. I mean, you can only go so far before you – have to draft Lincecum, and the, you know, it's like somewhat of a risk, but pretty good reward. And I've dug deep into this because each mock draft I've done has put him so low. And I mean, he's going after guys like, you know, Neftali Feliz, and well, even beyond that, like stupid Derek Holland and stuff.
Well, people don't want to take a shot on that. They're worried about the injury portion of him. So
Right. That's
one of the reasons why people are staying away from him. Now, I don't think it's smart unless there's some kind of report out there in reality that states that, you know, he's not going to be out there. But, I mean, let's be honest. People are going to go after Hernandez. They're going to go after Clayton Kershaw and Verlander and things like that. He's not up there in those kind of stats, but I don't think he's too far off of, you know, somewhere around the 10th best pitcher. I probably would go after him. But seeing how people are waiting later in the draft, you can pick him up cheaper. I think that's your steal.
Absolutely, and that's what I'm totally promoting. Him and Bryce Harper, and I'll get to Bryce Harper in a minute, but I've probably spent in the last day just probably 4 or 5 hours just researching Lincecum's numbers. And, you know, I'm not a stat – I don't consider myself a stat guy because, in fact, I kind of get annoyed at stat guys. They lose the whole – you know, once they figure out a formula for something, they just want to figure out another formula to prove that formula, and it's like
sure. –
I found a pretty good article on Fangraphs, very intriguing, and it enticed a ton of comments. But basically, the title of the article, probably that in itself enticed a bunch of interest, the fact that Tim Lincecum needs to learn how to pitch, not throw. Now, if you have the balls to say that about a two-time Cy Young winner, two-time World Series winner, four-time All-Star out of 5 years, I mean, I don't think he needs to learn how to pitch. So, I mean, I start being intrigued by this, and I start looking at his numbers. And the numbers that, I mean, what I came up with were the fact that he does turn 30 in June, but, I mean, this guy's pitched over 200 innings
yep.
in the last 4 years straight. He's never had a K-9 ratio less than 9. His walks were up last year, and
yep.
his – home runs were up last year, so you hear that a lot. You hear about his velocity being down. But let me tell you the numbers. I mean, it's so ridiculously small that it's almost like if we could use it anything for an excuse. We could say that his velocity was down, so people had more time to study his fastball and were able to decide, you know, had more time to decide whether or not to swing. We could say
yeah,
that he pitched
split second, right?
Yeah, well, that was one of them, you know. And one of them is the fact that, okay, there's a zone rate, right, a zone percentage that this guy says, you know, and this is, to be honest with you, this is the first time that I've come across zone percentage, and I'm wondering, what exactly is zone percentage, okay? Zone percentage is basically just how many times they get it in the strike zone.
Right.
In the basically right down the middle of the plate. So a pitcher, he's only going to be good if he can keep his zone percentage down. You would think that you would want it up a little bit for the command purpose. But if you throw it over the plate all the time like Jonathan Papelbon, eventually people start to figure you out. So
right.
you got the other crew of people that are saying it's not his velocity. It's the fact that, you know, this guy can't now he can't he's never, they say he's never been good at keeping the ball on the edge of the strike zone, the
yes.
right side or the left side. But this guy breaks it down that it's not really zone percentage, it's edge percentage. Now this guy has made this formula up. This is how this is how sabermetrics works, okay? I'm telling you, man, these people are dying to come up with a new formula for everything. This guy comes up with a formula about edge percentage. Now, he takes all of the pitches, and you can see them on a graph, you know, at fan graphs. You can see where they're going across the plate. Now, he compares them to, like, Giovanni Gallardo, Jeremy Hellickson, and Hiroki Kuroda, and he says this guy, Tim Lincecum, his edge percentage was 12.7%, which is, like, way lower than the average at 16%. And I'm thinking, okay, so he's basically saying that because Lincecum can't pitch to the one side or the other, he's having a problem. And I'm like, what about height? Like, you don't have a height percentage? Because, I mean, along with the side-to-side, there's high and low pitches. I mean, Big Poppy is one. It's
yes.
a perfect example. Like, you do not go up and pitch Big Poppy inside and low. Now, this can just think about it in your head a little bit about what a catcher does for a pitcher and wonder to yourself, all this hype about Buster Posey and all of his numbers are wonderful and all this. Everybody loves him, they say. But let me tell you what, man. I got to say that's what a good catcher does. It's not – it's beyond the fact that they say Lincecum has no control, I highly doubt that.
I think that's a wrong stat because of – and I think the fact that he was injured, you know, they took
a lot
of things and stretched out, you know, to stretch out a stat to make it look like, you know, what's going on.
He wasn't injured. He pitched out almost 200 innings. He didn't hit 200, but he was like 189. They actually pulled him and put him in the bullpen. Now, when he went to the bullpen, he was successful. So then you got the guys that say, oh, he was fatigued. Bitch, nobody's fatigued after they pitched four straight years of 200 innings. Look at Verlander and Chris Carpenter, okay? These guys don't get fatigued, okay? Lincecum doesn't get – I mean, okay, then they say, well, he gained 30 pounds, and then he didn't know how to take it off, right? So then he went on, like, this crash diet, you know, like some chick, and so he was unhealthy that way. Well, I mean, these are all just basically, you know, ideas that pop up in people's heads. But this guy's theory is basically, you know – that his edge percentage and basically that he's never been that good with his command as far as getting it, but he's always been able to get batters up to two, you know, at least one strike and then just blow the fastball by him. Well, don't tell me for a second, dude, that just because you pitch the ball fast makes you a good pitcher. And the velocity went down it was like not even 1 mile an hour, dude. Okay, now I mean The walks went up not even a batter per nine innings.
Right.
I mean, we talk about how many – I mean, I went to look at the numbers, and I was actually surprised at how little his home runs went up because of the fact that, you know, it's just well-known fact that Lincecum gave up a bunch more home runs and he walked a bunch more batters, but he didn't.
Right.
I mean, in reality,
stretch stats.
Right, it's a total
where
stretch.
Where they're trying to stretch
the problem
to make a point, and sometimes the points are so irrelevant it doesn't make a bit of difference. But
now here's where I found
this guy's a stud without question.
This is what I found that makes sense to me. Now I'm not trying to say that I'm right or anything, but this is what I came up with the research that I did. I look at he gave up 1.1 home runs in nine innings in 2012. In 2011, he gave up .62. So, you know, not even a batter, but he didn't give up a batter to begin with. So I guess if you look at the percentages that he went, you know, whatever, compared to no batters to one batter. But
yes.
Big deal, dude. That's still, I'm sorry, that's not good enough to tell me why he got kicked into the bullpen. I mean, this guy, you know, there's bigger things. So I look at his batting average on balls in play. You know, we talk about that. It's .309, which is above average, and it's above any other year that he had. So batters are getting a little bit lucky. His home run to fly ball ratio. This guy isn't encouraging more fly balls than he used to. He's not pitching the ball where people are hitting so many more fly balls so they have the opportunity to hit it out of the park. It's the home run to fly ball ratio, which means those two things together tell me that he was very unlucky. Like, he induced just as many fly balls in 2012 as he did any other year, but they just happened to be going out of the park. Okay, so that didn't help him out much. His home run to fly ball ratio was almost twice, dude, his norm. His norm is 7.1% over 4 years. In the last year, it was 14.6%. That's double. So that explains right there why he gave up more home runs. There is no other explanation needed.
Hey, and let's be honest. You take the last 3 years, they've been averaging, they've been averaging or 10.3 million for this guy. And believe me, they're not upset whatsoever they paid him $18 million last year. They're going to pay him $22 million. But wait until this guy hits free agency. You think Hernandez was getting some money? He's going to get some money. Verlander in 2 years going to get some money. Kershaw's going to get some money. I mean, that signing of Hernandez just opened the door to about three or four free agents that are going to hit the market and make not only that, forget about the big free agents. The mid-sized free agents just got a raise in reality as well.
Oh, yeah, because of Felix Hernandez, absolutely. Well,
yes.
I mean, Lincecum aside, it's definitely upped the stakes for people like Kershaw and David Price.
Yes, Price is another one.
There really are only several elite pitchers in baseball, and Kershaw is one of them. Well, the Dodgers don't give a shit, dude. We talk about that, and it's like, holy crap, what's Kershaw going to be worth if Felix Hernandez is worth that? You're so lucky if you actually have a guy like Felix Hernandez get a contract like that right before it's time to sign you,
Yeah, absolutely.
The Dodgers have plenty of money.
That happened last year with the Philly pitchers, Cliff Lee and, I forget the other one.
Oh, and remember when Albert Pujols had to be signed before Prince Fielder would go anywhere?
That
rolls. But luckily for Kershaw, and I mean not really luckily for Kershaw, luckily for the Dodgers, dude, that they have plenty of money. They basically have endless amounts. So here's my theory. It's all about getting value at the draft. It's not about, who to draft in the third round. It's about getting the best value at the best spot. I've always been one for, kind of waiting on first baseman. I actually, started to really think about this a little harder because even though, I've always gone after I want a guy that steals bases. I would rather have Andrew McCutchen, than Miguel Cabrera. And it doesn't really make a lot of sense if you're in a 5x5 league because average counts just as much as stolen bases. And a guy that gets stolen bases I've kind of changed my theory on this. I understand why power is more important because with power you get home runs, you get RBIs and runs. A stolen base guy, he's not going to get you RBIs. So you're basically kind of giving up a category in that respect because speed guys don't get RBIs.
Yeah, they normally don't because they're the ones that
they're
get
getting
on
runs.
Base. Yeah, exactly.
If you get a guy that has speed and power, I swear, man, 70 or 80% of the time, this guy is going to have a shitty batting average. You can look at guys like Ian Kinsler. You can look at guys like even Andrew McCutchen before last year, and he could regress a little bit back. But you notice like Nelson Cruz or whatever, these guys are going to give you like a 270, 280 max, When you can get a guy like Miguel Cabrera, he's going to get you runs, RBIs, batting average, and power. So in reality, it makes a little sense to get a guy that gives you power. Well, I'm going across the plate. I'm going across the diamond, dude, to third base, and I'm rolling with Adrian Beltre. I picked him in the second round in both of my drafts. I'm targeting Adrian Beltre like a crazy woman, dude.
Yeah, as far as Texas is concerned, and you mentioned Nelson Cruz, he's been linked to some, performance.
Oh, this is the Biogenesis.
As well.
It's the Biogenesis Clinic, okay? It's the clinic to keep young. And like I said, I ended up on that blog, and I started to just look into it as much as I possibly could. Now, the thing is about it is that we could sit here all day and analyze it, and to be honest with you, the fucking facts, dude, are about as plain as day. There is just – the writing is on the paper, dude. It has their regimen. It has their names. It has – I mean, it even has Gio's dad on there, dude.
Yep.
And it's got the coach from Miami College. where Gio went to school, he's been on there for like, he's been a strength and conditioning coach, and where Gio went to school in Miami. I can't remember if it's University of Miami or, yeah. But anyway, it's got pictures of him saying, you know, this is my coach. Well, you know, everybody straight up came out and denied it. And the lawyer of the doctor is basically saying, you know, this is all misleading and it's all, you know. And
no.
People tend to think that there's a good chance that this all came out because A-Rod's contract is so bad that
yes.
The Yankees have had to find a way to get him. You know, if he gets caught doing steroids, dude, they might not have to pay him.
Yes. And but... the writing's on the wall with that whole situation. And,
I could care less about it.
Well, see, and that's another thing. You know, we get back to, is there a place in baseball or in sports for steroid use? And obviously there is. And here's one thing about, you know, Nelson Cruz. For the last 3 or 4 years, okay, that guy's been on the DL sometimes 5 times in a season.
So does that say that he is on roids or that he's... People. Some people have said that he's the one that they worry about the most because of the fact.
I don't blame him. I, you know, as far as if that's what you're going to worry
but
about.
But does
I
that
mean,
just basically tell you that there's no way he could have been on roids all this time because he would have been healthier?
No, I'm saying that he was even in the lineup for a lot of the time that he was, which wasn't as much, because of those steroids. That's why I'm saying there's a place for it. You look at this guy. This guy is amazing. I mean, he's
you
a good player.
You got to look up online and you got to check out these papers, dude. There's like 6 straight up pages and it's got their regimen. And to be honest with you, Couch, I don't even find, I want to know if anybody ever actually thinks about what the real problem is here. Because, yeah, they give him some testosterone, dude. They have him on a whole regimen with like vitamins and
yeah.
All kinds of different things, you know, to keep their body going healthy. And it's you know, it, to me, it's no different than any other sort of health. You know, regimen that you're on all kinds of vitamins or whatever. Yeah, there's a little testosterone, but what guy doesn't need a little extra testosterone? Come on.
I don't know, but this, you know, that's why, you know, I don't think people, you know, well, I'm sorry, I guess the baseball purists and the ones that
oh, no.
Come out.
You mean
and
the
think
hypocrites?
They're cheaters and all this nonsense, you know. You know,
right.
You know, fans and people who watch the game, they're tired of it. They don't care. They want to spend their money. They want to go out and watch the game.
I want to watch a good game, man. I want to watch
talent.
I don't care. And I don't even consider steroids. I think people really do and should think about the difference between steroids and heroin, you know, or steroids and cocaine or methamphetamine. I mean, you're not out there doing things that a normal drug addict would be doing. You're out there bettering your body so that you can play the game of baseball better, you know? I mean,
right.
I honestly don't – I would much prefer them doing it. And really, are they really even hurting their bodies? And if they were, is it for us to tell them not to?
I think that's more of what it is. I think that's more of what the whole controversy about steroids is whether or not what they're doing in order to do with their bodies and things like that. Say, let's hop into the chat room. Linson Kim won't have much interest as a free agent.
Oh,
I love
really?
Your coffee. I love your coffee.
I love it.
I'm
oh,
sorry.
I had to know it was coffee, right?
Yeah,
Minnesota
yeah,
might
to,
want him. Right?
Yeah, and
if he
just
shits,
as I said it, he bailed out. Just as he said it, he bailed out.
He's still
yeah,
listening,
I,
though. That's the thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully he is still listening.
You know he is.
But, you know, I'm sorry. Tim Lincecum's going to be one of the highest paid baseball players when his contract's up. And that's just the way it is. And his contract's up after the end of this year. He's making $22 million this year.
And let me tell you what, fantasy owners, you cannot go wrong by drafting Tim Lincecum. Get him in the – I mean, when you start to see it getting close and he
yeah. –
you know how it's funny, wherever you draft, the draft board, you know, as
yeah,
players
it goes
get
in
picked,
a certain direction sometimes.
Absolutely, and when you see a name come up there, it's like you know that maybe you would draft this player a couple rounds later, but since his name has popped up in front of everybody right now, you know
yeah.
he's like, you know, right, he's going to get drafted just because he's right there in your face. You need to draft Lincecum. You need to pre-pick him in your draft. You need to make sure you monitor that you pick him before it comes up. Him, Jordan Zimmerman is another one.
Will be good, yes. I was wondering when you were going to get to him because I think next year will be a year where he's going to have more of a role as well. You know, that's going to be huge, for, especially when you're thinking about who you're going to be drafting. Is this guy going to be in the lineup? Is he going to make his pitches? Is he going to be
there? This guy's going to contend for Cy Young next year.
Exactly. And you got to look at these. Yeah, you're taking a shot. You're taking a shot by moving up a couple of them. But I'm going to tell you right now, I agree with you as far as Zimmerman, where he's, you know, where he will be drafted compared to what his value is, he will be way above where his draft value will be, I think.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, here's the thing. Anybody, that please do not draft a pitcher in anywhere near the beginning. Do not draft a pitcher before Matt Holliday is off the board. Do not draft a pitcher before Curtis Granderson is off the board. I mean, let's get... Honestly, I mean, it's been too many years now, people, that you haven't got it clicked into your head that Verlander is not a good pick in the first round. You can't win with Verlander because there's too many good pitchers. I mean, you got pitchers out there that are fifth starters or fourth starters that are being left on the waiver. That's how many pitchers there are and good ones. Now, I mean, look at... And I'm a big fan. I mean,
I'll pass on Granderson, though.
Absolutely. I'm just saying, you shouldn't have a pitcher on your roster until at least Jeter is picked up.
Well, hold on.
That was my point. It's like, it's going to get down far down there, and you better not have a pitcher yet because you're going to be able to get guys like Anibal Sanchez, who's another one that's under the wire. You know, he is definitely under the wire because he didn't do that good when he went to Detroit for the first time. But I believe that Anibal Sanchez absolutely has the characteristics of a good pitcher. He just has good stuff. So he's going to be fine. Detroit's going to get a little better because they have, you know, they fixed up their pitching side of it. And I think Albert Pujols is going to get his stuff together. I don't think he's going to ever be the Albert Pujols of one. But come on, man, how many people are ever going to be that Albert Pujols? And this guy's getting drafted after Prince Fielder at times.
Well, I'll tell you about Albert Pujols. I look at last year as a first year in a new place, just getting used to it. And, you know, if he's not going to be grabbed up right away, you might have an opportunity, Adam. You take him.
A little scary, but when you look at what else the choices that you have on the table, now I'm about to bite my tongue.
I think that's the huge thing is comparing to what you're going to end up getting, you know, later on. You almost got to you know, pull the trigger on an Albert Pujols. I mean, you know, there's only so many of those kind of guys that are going to be out there. Now, you know, if you're in a pay league where you're buying them, then yeah, you might want to skip over an Albert Pujols. But if you're grabbing them up just in a regular field field draft, you got to consider Albert Pujols within the top five, top six as far as the draft.
Well, here's the thing, too. This is another thing that's driving me crazy. Mike Trout, okay? Now, look, man, I have nothing against Mike Trout, but I'm going to tell you that there's a couple reasons. No, you're hell no, and you're not drafting him before you draft Albert Pujols. Do you want to know
why?
Okay, do you want to know why? Yeah, you do. I understand the theory, dude, behind this. This guy had a phenomenal – he had such a good season that it almost makes you wonder if it's even possible to have that season again. And don't question that because every single year we have those guys that come out and do that, and every single year we talk about the fact that they had a career season. There's no way they're going to be able to do it again. Now, let me tell you more about Mike Trout. I'm going to compare him to Bryce Harper.
He was a rookie last year, wasn't he, Andrea?
He got Rookie of the Year, but he played a little bit in 2011, and that's a point that you need to be aware of because you go and look at his stats. There's only 2 years there. It's not that hard. It's not going to take a graph to figure this out. His batting average when he first came up into the major leagues was like 240 or some crap. Now, I saw the guy in Arizona. Okay, nobody was watching Mike. Okay, we knew his name. We definitely knew his name, and we knew he was coming up, but we were not paying attention to him like we were paying attention to a Bryce Harper or a Steven Strasburg or, you know, an Evan Longoria.
And that's the media's fault.
Well, no, it isn't, because Mike Trout just – he never had a season like last year or even any inkling that he would have a season like last year.
Okay.
That scares me. And I know the guy has talent. There's no doubt about it. But let me tell you something. Just as Lincecum eventually gets figured out, okay, if that's the theory that you want to roll with Lincecum, Mike Trout will get figured out too. This is American League, you know, you get figured out. And there's just so little chance that this guy performs in anywhere near. His batting average is bad. His contract rate is bad. Pull up his stats for me, because I think I might have been, I mean, I seriously, I'll take the bad if it's me, but I think that right before I called you, I was looking at Mike Trout's BABIP, and I think it said 390, dude.
Let me take a look at it.
And if it did, that's just another, I didn't even know that before I had my mind made up about not, all the reasons not to draft Mike Trout. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying in the first round of baseball, you're putting this guy up on a pedestal like you think for some reason that he's going to be more consistent than Albert Pujols or Miguel Cabrera.
Well, that would
or Ryan
be stupid.
Braun.
And that would be stupid even if
it happens every draft. Everybody's doing it.
As soon as you get film on you, say what you want about coaching, they'll figure you out, okay? As soon as there's enough film on you, I trust coaches more than I trust the batter.
Look at Andrew McCutchen. He got caught stealing so many times last year because you want to know why? Because they knew that dude was so fast, and they knew that if they're going to catch anybody stealing, it's going to be this dude, and they went after him every time. Now, I think that Andrew McCutchen is going to have a phenomenal season. Andrew McCutchen is going to put up the numbers that you're expecting out of Mike Trout. And
right.
I believe that Bryce Harper just may put up those numbers too. Just remember, Bryce Harper was expected to do all this, okay? The only thing we were worried about for Bryce Harper wasn't his raw talent. It was his maturity level and whether or not he was going to be able to deal with it, because he had all those, you know, he liked to cause a little chaos and commotion, you know, down in the minors. And it's like, is this guy ready? We didn't question whether or not he had raw talent. Nobody is going to question when Bryce Harper walks up to the plate whether or not you can strike him out. He's got a phenomenal batting average. His batting average will be better than Mike Trout's. He will walk more times. He will get more RBIs. He may just get less runs and less stolen bases, but I could go without that, you know?
Yeah. What stat did you want to know about Trout? I got it right
here. I want to know his BABIP, and I could probably pull it up too. Actually, I just got to my computer. Let's see. Oh, look at all this free celebrity. Let me get RotoWire up.
RotoWire probably has that stat.
Or Fangraphs.
I don't have it.
You can get it at Fangraphs or RotoWire, but I'll pull it up real quick. I got to see it with my own eyes, dude, for real. It's
but
funny.
The only thing I know, only 40 games in 2011, so you there's not a lot of film on that guy.
And what's his batting average?
His batting average now
was then.
Back in that year?
When he first came up.
When he first came up here.
2011.
There it is. That's slugging. Hold on. Batting average 220. Yeah, and then he
220.
Averaged 320. Yeah, then he averaged 326 last season.
Now this guy, he strikes out a ton. He actually is projected to strike out more next.
139. Yeah.
He's projected to strike out more times next year than he did this year. Because if you look at – now, let me see his BABIP here. This is crazy. I'm, like, nervous to look at it.
Well, how many times did Adam Dunn strike out, though?
This is not somebody that you're drafting before Miggy, dude, or Albert Pujols.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know,
390, dude.
Yeah.
Nobody. Nobody can keep that. Even when his batting average was 220, his BABIP was 500.
Well,
that means
he's slugging 564, and that's an incredible. You just can't expect
that.
That's
not isolated, though, dude.
When you look at
the isolated slugging, that's when you take the BABIP into it. Now his walk rate is horrible. He walked less. I mean, he walked. Oh shit! Hold on. 2012 was split up because
67.
He played at he had 77 at-bats in AAA. He had a 500 BABIP in AAA. Now, that's fine in AAA because some of those minor league, you know, that's explainable. But the major leagues in Angel Stadium.
Yeah.
390, dude.
Yeah. Those numbers are – especially for a third-year player. Now, if this was a player that had established himself –
Not even a third-year, dude. Not even a third-year.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's going to be in the – he's going to be in the third year. But
– he had 100 at-bats, dude, in 2011. So it's really – I mean, he was able to win Rookie of the Year, which kind of pisses me off. He was able to win Rookie of the Year, so we have to say it's his second year now. This is a sophomore slump.
Yeah. Well, and never mind that. You know, there are a lot of players out there that have quick success
mm-hmm.
in Major League Baseball, only to fall on their face and you never hear from them again. Now, I'm not saying Mike Trout's that guy, okay? But I'm saying as far as the numbers are concerned, you can automatically think a second-year guy, his batting average is going to go down huge, not just a little. And I'm talking about huge. I mean, the guy the batting average that he batted was 326. Okay.
There's no way.
I'm sorry. These pitchers are going to figure it out. He's in the American League as well. Some of the best pitchers in baseball are in the American League.
Look, I mean, we can't take away what he did last year, 559 at-bats. The guy did phenomenal. But when you look at stats like the BABIP, and all these people want to throw stats around, hello, that's what that stat is for. And
yes.
Not only that, but part of his value comes in the fact that he's a leadoff batter. He gets a ton more runs that way, and he's able to steal his 50, 60 bases. Let me tell you what, when they move him down in the order, because they already said they're going to, he's probably,
yeah, that goes away.
When they say that, dude, there's no choice, dude. That guy's going to be, you know, they don't just go around saying, you know, they have Josh Hamilton now. They have Albert Pujols.
Right.
They have Mike Trumbo. They have Howie Kendrick. They have a ton of batters over there. They have so many batters. That's another thing. It's like if any small little thing happens, he's going to lose playing time. Nobody's going to want to injure Mike Trout. He could
right.
be like the face of this team, you know, in the future. They have so many replacements. But it basically, Mike Socha already noted that he will start the season at the top of the lineup, but he will be moved down in the order at some point. And it's
that'll only depend if he starts having some kind of success like he did last year. If this guy is not going to have that kind of success to where they're going to drop him in the 3 or 4 hole, okay.
Well, they can't do
right
that.
There.
They got Pujols and Hamilton there.
Exactly.
They're going to put him
he's
not going to score runs, which would be six.
In the five hole, it takes away from his production as well.
Oh, for sure. If you don't have a guy in the top five batting lineup of the lineup, dude, it makes a difference for your points.
It really does. So, you know, you look at I like the guy. I like the fact that he did what he did. But,
consistently
looking at what Major League Baseball is all about. And,
absolutely.
I'm going to tell you something right now. You can say whatever you want about raw talent in Major League Baseball,
mm-hmm.
but film tells the tale on how to figure out how you stop a guy from being the superstar. Now, you're always going to have your Albert Pujols and things like that, but you're not going to be able to figure that kind of thing out in his second year. Okay, second-year guys always get figured out, and that batting average of 326 is not going to even be 300 next year. So you can just say what you want about him.
Oh, it's not even
going to
be close.
Good guy, but yeah, it's just
this guy is not
going to
have a 300 batting average, so don't even consider it. I mean, consider him for stolen bases, consider him for some power, but don't think for a second that this guy's going to hit 300 or even close. He will be lucky if he gets 275.
Yep. Don't sell the farm on them. There are
many
other players out there that you do that for. And you know there are going to be people out there in those leagues that will sell the farm for this guy in the second year. And they're only going to end up crying by the third week of Major League Baseball season.
Now, you know, what's interesting here, too, is that he was caught stealing 16 times in 2012. Oh, wait. He was caught stealing how many times? In 2012, he was only caught stealing 6 times. I need some glasses, Couch, but I refuse to get – I think that if I get
your
them,
vein.
I'm
your
old.
Vein. Your vein. Yeah,
for
I
real,
know.
I don't care.
Yeah.
But I am getting to the point where I'm totally cool with being old because I would like to see now, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So the thing is that if you look at his split stats, and I'm going to pull them up right now, and I hope that –
I hate split stats, but
no,
he's
just
a good
because
guy
of
to look
the point.
At them on, though, you
I
know,
just,
in reality, yeah.
I just want to point out that they've started to catch him stealing. They start
mm-hmm.
to know what he's doing. People are going to start to be able to figure this. And I'm not saying they're going to figure him out completely. Look, this guy's got raw talent. He is going to be a good player. Barring getting hurt, he's going to probably be a top fantasy player. But do not ever bet the farm on a guy in his second year. You know? You know, let's look up Votto, dude. Remember when I bit my tongue about Votto?
I had to eat my crap, dude.
I had to eat it about Votto because I never believed in Votto. And it's like, here comes Votto with the craziest numbers. And, you know, the other day when I did a mock draft, I mean, this guy had a serious man crush on Votto. He just kept talking about Votto. And I'm like, okay, look, man, maybe even though I admit that I was wrong, I still have a tendency to want to not like him. I don't know what it is. That's ego, vain, whatever.
You might not like his name.
I just don't –
You might because this guy's been actually really good.
Fabulous. Fabulous. But let me tell you something about Votto, people. Pete, please listen. Listen, I'm not – this is, never came up because actually I kind of started to just really not bother with Votto anymore until I started reading about this because he is going in the first round. And his numbers in 2011 were worthy of that. But realize that in 2012 he got hurt. His last home run was in June, people.
Yes.
He did not hit again after June. Now, look,
and
I know
that – Not only that, this guy's got one of the best eyes in baseball. This guy walked 110 times back in 2011, and before he got hurt, he was on base 94 times. Okay,
oh, dude,
the guy's got one of the better
him.
Eyes in Major League Baseball as well. It's too bad you don't get points for walks.
Oh, he is straight up one of the most raw talent hitters I've ever seen, and I will give him that credit, no doubt. The guy does not swing at anything, dude, if it's not in the strike zone. He will walk. And when he does hit, he hits it so clean that he straight up hits it, and it gets done, dude. He takes care of business.
His on-base percentage last year before he got hurt was .476. Okay, the year before that, the whole season was .416. Okay, that is a guy that you got to take a look at. And go.
Do you know what's funny about that stat, Couch?
Go ahead.
Because he did not hit a home run for. You know, you think of Votto, you automatically think of power. I know that's what most fantasy players think of. That's the first thing you want. That's why everybody ended up on steroids. The whole public loves power. With Votto, it's a perfect example of how this guy was so useful, even hurt. Now, here's me trying to convince you, watch out for Votto and his knees. Actually, his injury was worse than they thought, and we don't even know if he's going to be able to fully come back. This fool hit injured. Okay, he didn't hit, but he got on base, and that's just as good.
88 doubles in 2 years, and one of them being hurt. 88
Straight
doubles.
Up. He didn't hit any home runs after June, but that fool got on base more than he did but when he, before he was hurt.
Yep, only 59 games
He's
last
magic,
year for
dude.
Joey Votto. This guy is going to be a guy that you're looking. You got to look him top 10.
I don't know, man. I still worry about the – look, baseball's a long season, and even though this guy is magic, he was freaking magic to be able to do that. You can't hit for power, but, you know, and it's your knees that's hurting you, so you're still going to find a way to get on base, and that's because he has an eye for the ball that nobody in baseball has, dude.
Yep.
So, okay, fine. That eye is not going to make up for a broken body, though, after 4 months.
Yeah, and as far as where he is, I think he's top 10. You're going to see that guy go top 10.
Oh, he's going in the top 10.
They're not looking at him right, I don't think. Joey Votto is going to be tough.
Draft him up, but I wouldn't pick him in the top 10 just because of the fact that I don't know what's going to happen with his knees. I just don't know. I mean, you can't I don't care if you're the best batter in baseball, which he pretty much is. I mean, this guy knows when to swing. Have you watched him swing the bat?
Oh, God, yeah. And not only that, you can say what you want about numbers. This guy knows what's coming at him almost on every single pitch, too. And having that's just another reason
why you've got to
grab this guy. He knows when the fastball's coming. He knows when they're going to lay off of him. And that's just another reason why you know what kind of batter that you're getting with him.
Absolutely, and he is just a perfect example of why you watch the game of baseball, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, Jordan Zimmermann is why you watch the game of baseball. People like this is why you watch the game of baseball. I mean, I look at these stats, and I come, you know, and then these guys come up with these formulas, and it's like, well, we haven't really, like, figured it all out yet, but we basically take the strike zone, and we go a half a foot in on each side, and we call that the edge. It's like, so this is where your sabermetric formulas are coming from, people. This is coming from stat heads,
and
that's
not only
fine.
Not only that, they're getting them dead cheap. I mean, this guy's getting paid nothing. I mean, $10.95 last year, and then the year before that, $7.5.
He wasn't worth anything.
Didn't make $1 million in his first 4 years of playing baseball.
He wasn't worth anything until 2011. That's part of the reason I couldn't stand the guy. He reminded me of Alex Gordon and Billy Butler, who are two other ones that have finally come through and took too long. But, you know, Billy Butler is another guy that's going pretty early now. Here's some other trends.
Yeah.
How about this trend? Altuve, dude? Okay, Houston, I understand the Altuve love, okay? Look,
I get it, too, but
for a minute, you
got to be careful where you grab him up.
For a minute, I can understand it. But when he's being drafted before, let's see, like Brian or dude from St. Louis or Cincinnati. What's his name? Freaking he gets overlooked. He's a brown dude. He's fighting with the catcher. You know, the second baseman for Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. Phillips, Brandon Phillips.
Brandon Phillips. He's being drafted before. And, look, you think that second base is shallow and all that. And, you know, my clutch was in Danny Espinosa because beyond the batting average, this guy is going to still get some bases. He's gonna steal and he's going to hit home runs. And just because of the fact that he's in such a good lineup this year, he's going to get points. But he is somebody to watch, too, now. He's on my injury list because he's got some issues. Just keep an eye on him. But, you know, there's a whole bunch of these guys. If you go through the depth charts, just about one out of every three teams has a brand-new full-time second baseman. So I would watch out for Altuve. Yeah, he's going to steal some bases, but there's a guy coming up, man, that stole like 70 bases last year. So if you want stolen bases, you have a hard-on for that, then go draft Michael Bourne. He finally has a team.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just... And another one, Alan Craig. So I questioned the Alan Craig thing. You know me, in a draft, the second draft I did was a live draft on ESPN Detroit last Saturday, and I questioned why Alan Craig, why all the hype? I don't get it. Oh, well, he's trying to, you know, they're trying to knock me for the Victor Martinez. Well, actually, I was pissed because someone stole Victor Martinez from me. Do you know, Victor Martinez is being overlooked as much as Tim Lincecum. Let me tell you something. Victor Martinez, I know he was injured last year, and I know the guy is never going to have the raw power that he used to, but he doesn't need to. He's batting with Prince Fielder, and he's batting with, you know, who's the other dude? Freaking, hello, he's the bottom line. This guy is known for RBIs more than power. He always gets on base. He always gets runs in. The guy is healthy, and he doesn't have to catch. Whenever you can get a guy that's going to get you power and get you RBIs like that, like Victor Martinez is going to, and he doesn't actually have to be behind the plate every day, you're gold, right?
Yeah.
Then Alan Craig, they tell me, Alan Craig, well, if you look at his numbers, his stats back up the fact that he's so hyped up. This is another one. 1 year he gives me these stats, and I'm supposed to go out and draft Alan Craig when, like, nobody
–
I'm sorry. When he was in the Arizona Fall League, I don't even know if he was in the Arizona Fall League. Okay, that's how little known this guy is. Brett Lowry's not being drafted. Remember the love for Brett Lowry last year?
Yeah, I remember that. I remember everybody had a hard-on for that dude, and he fell on his face.
Now and he'll probably do very well this year. Brett Lowry – Eric Hosmer is another one to look for because these people forget. Matt Wieters is about the best example. Remember when Matt Wieters came up and everybody expected his numbers to be so high that because he didn't do it right away, everybody forgot about Matt Wieters. Now they're all Buster Posey in it. Well, I'm not drafting Buster Posey in the first round. Okay?
Yeah, plus that dude can get hurt at any second as
anybody can behind the plate.
Yeah.
And there's too many good catchers now. I mean, Victor Martinez is being drafted.
When you say good catchers, you know that's a stretch, right?
No, actually not. You got Carlos Santana. You got Victor Martinez. You got Miguel Montero. You got Buster Posey. There's probably six or seven catchers that
and
are going to get you.
How many of them are you going to draft before the fifth or sixth round?
None.
Okay.
Probably none for me.
Okay.
That's how many catchers there are out there because they're not any longer getting the .250 batting average.
No.
They're
averaging .220 if they're any good.
No, actually, I'm saying the catcher depth is getting deeper, and so their batting average is like .280, .275. You know, these guys, there's other players out there. Buster Posey doesn't give me enough of an advantage to take his ass in the first round, and that's what people are
absolutely
doing. So when you look at the fact that Victor Martinez isn't being drafted till the sixth round, it shows you right there, you can wait until the sixth round to get a catcher. Don't, you know, if you're the kind of guy that likes position scarcity, you know, don't fall for the catcher spot. It's no longer that way. Third base, I thought. I'm getting Adrian Beltre, I thought.
Absolutely.
Well, Adrian Beltre, to me, is a
no-lose. He's an Iron Man.
He's a no-lose situation. But then you roll over to shortstop, and you're like, okay, shit. Jose Reyes went. Starlin Castro went. Once Starlin Castro goes, you're like, frick. Okay, now's the time where I just say forget shortstops for a while because basically at this point, once the top few shortstops go, let me tell you how deep the shortstops is. I mean, Elvis Andrus isn't getting drafted until like the seventh or eighth round.
He's commanded so much money too. Oh my God, that's the big story down here.
It is.
Oh God, yeah. Elvis is going to be demanding a lot of money. He's got that agent.
Scott Boris.
Yeah, Boris. And,
you know, the same fool that got Michael Bourne a job, dude.
Yes. And
this guy gets everybody a job. And Elvis Andrus will get it. He's a good player. He is. And Texas is, you know, the thing about Texas is that they're easy to take advantage of because everybody knows they have money, and everybody knows that they just got rid of Josh Hamilton.
Yep.
And the
they
fact
got about
that
20 mil open right away.
They basically had to rely on Lance Berkman, you know, for veteran experience. But I would look at, as a fantasy owner, Texas is very intriguing. They have a couple of young players that are going to have full-time spots where Josh Hamilton is no longer. I think their third baseman is a new, well, Adrian Beltre, but there's another third baseman. I have named Mike Olt or something.
He's
supposed to be, you know, he's an up-and-coming. There's not going to be a Mike Trout this year as far as rookies go. But it's all about, you know, some are better than others, but it's all about whether or not they're going to have a spot on the club. Some of them are,
Better,
you know.
I'll tell you, Olt better figure out how to play another position because he's not going to get time at third base.
Oh, he totally can.
Because even hurt Adrian Beltre is in the lineup.
He will. He'll be able to work. He'll be able to, you know, the fact that they're in the American League, they don't have, like, they're definitely going to be giving this guy a full-time job probably. I mean, he's expected
somewhere
to get 400 or 500 at bats.
Yeah.
There's another guy on that club, too, that's a fielder that one of the best. One thing that they say about this guy, Michael, is that he is kind of like a Beltre. He's got power, and he's got a good defensive qualities. Now, like, I heard somebody on the radio, one of the pitchers for Texas, talking about, you know, how they gave up the farm. They gave up Napoli. They gave up Hamilton. They gave up, you know, all these veteran presences. And they decided to put dude back in the lineup that they had a couple years ago. They put him back in the rotation. What's his name? He's totally being Ogando.
Uh-huh.
Alexi Ogando. Underdrafted to the max. This guy isn't even getting drafted. And I'm like, what the hell are you thinking? This guy's a freaking pitcher, like the third or fourth pitcher for Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And he's good. He's already proven that he can do this.
Harrison. Matt Harrison's another one, yeah. Well, they paid him. Let me rephrase that. They paid him like he was.
All I know is that they definitely are putting Ogando back in the rotation. He's got a job. You remember that guy in Milwaukee, Michael Fears?
Yes.
We talked about him. Remember, I was like, this guy, Michael Fears, nobody talks about him. But, like, he has a really good strikeout rate, which gets my attention. I was checking his numbers out. This guy's got when you can strike out 9 batters in 9 innings, you have an above-average strikeout rate. That's good enough for me, as long as you're not walking the farm like Jonathan Sanchez. You know, this guy did not do that. No, you know, people aren't really talking about him, but it just...
Well, are you there? Did I lose
you?
Yep,
I'm here.
Okay. Well, you're talking about, and also another guy, you know, that is lost, you know, as far as the Rangers are concerned, you know, Michael Young, he's now in Philadelphia. There's going to be places in this lineup for some young players if they
Absolutely.
Can adjust and do what they got to do in order to get to that. Mitch, I'll tell you right now, Mitch Moreland's going to be a guy that you could keep your eye out for.
Oh, freaking Mitch Moreland?
Yes.
No. I laugh. I was listening to one of our old podcasts, dude. We were joking around about Mitch Moreland so bad. Oh, that was funny.
You and me?
Yes, we were joking around about Mitch Moreland so bad. It was like before last season started, we were joking around about it, you know. I can't remember.
I don't think he's not the worst. I mean, he got up 327 times. He had a batting average of 275. It's respectful and everything else. RBI, I mean, he played in 114 games, but he wasn't that everyday kind of guy. But I think they're going to have but they're just going to have more of a role for Moreland as well. So that's opportunity for a young guy. So you're looking at a first baseman. First base is always over.
Oh, and you got Goldschmidt. Don't forget about Goldschmidt. I mean, everybody loves Alan Craig, but let me tell you how many first basemen there are, okay? Eric Cosmar,
God.
Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, there are so many first basemen out there. I'm going to look up Texas here because there's two guys on that team that are supposed to be first let me pull up. We have, oh, I was reading it in the bathtub. I wonder if I left. Okay, wait. I have it here. I read of the depth chart.
Oh, the guy,
in the bathtub.
Hugh Darvish. Is that who you're talking about? Hugh
no,
Darvish,
I'm talking about,
or are you talking about
offensive
position players.
Offensive. Let me just pull it up here. It's in my. So
oh,
Michael
got,
was
they,
one of them.
Craig, they got Craig Gentry.
Texas Rangers, bam. Hugh Darvish is listed as their number one.
Well, and he should be.
I thought they had Soria, too. Soria is a closer, but Soria, and you know, it's unfortunate for Soria, for fantasy owners, that Soria and Nathan are on the same team because Nathan did so well last year. You know he's going to have the job. Although, Joaquin Soria is a fabulous closer, and he just is coming back from Tommy John. Don't forget, you know, he's going to be good. They're going to have a decent bullpen over there.
Oh, yeah. And Nathan will be still be there.
It's
They'll Erickson probably...
Profar, dude, which entertained
oh, yeah,
me
Profar.
So much.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That you say that you mentioned that Elvis Andrus has given him a bunch of crap about how much money he wants.
Right.
Well, let me tell you what, dude. This Profar cat is probably, out of all the rookies coming up, he's probably the highest touted as far as raw talent goes, but he doesn't have anywhere to play. That's you know. So I would
think that. Well, he's a middle infielder, so, you know, Elvis Andrus is going to be there. And they're talking about moving Kinsler over to first, but they got Moreland over there as well. So there's just a lot of talk going on as far as what the lineup's going to look like over here. And as far as their positioning and who's going to play. But I will tell you this. Washington,
here it is. Are they talking
about.
Sorry,
Watch
just
get these players in the lineup, you know, and get them into where they get time.
Erickson Profar, shortstop, Texas. Now, in 2012, he had 500.
This kid's not even 20 years old. This
he's in Double A. Yes.
Yeah.
But he is regarded as the best positional prospect in baseball right now, and he has been hitting good, very good and consistent, like with good play discipline and all that, even if it's just 19 years old, although for fantasy owners it's not that great because he takes a hit with the fact that he doesn't have anywhere to play. Mike Ohl, on the other hand, this guy, he's actually 24,
right,
and he's going to qualify as a rookie, but he's got plus power and those huge defensive skills just like Beltre, but you look at what they're projecting him, like if you look at, I mean, I looked him up on Roto, and RotoWire is telling me that they're expecting him to get 400 at-bats. Fangraphs is expecting him to get like 490 at-bats.
Wow.
And the guy is not going to have, it even doesn't matter. His batting average is not going to be anything like what it is in the minor
right.
leagues. But then you have Oscar Taveras for St. Louis. He's an outfielder. He's 21 years old coming up for his first season. He came up last season very entry-level type stuff. He played center field, but I think they're going to put him at the corner. So even him doesn't have any room. So
right.
the best up-and-coming players are guys that don't really have a job. Zach Wheeler is a pitcher for the Mets. He's
yeah.
going to have a job. I heard him on the radio. He sounds very mature and very positive. He could be a guy to look at. Double A, he did real good. It says he made really – he had like this stint of like six really horrible starts down in Triple A. But he'll be up. The Mets aren't going to hold him down for any reason.
Right.
Dylan Bundy, right-hand pitcher for Baltimore, he won't even be up this year. So you look at these guys and you're like, okay, here's all the rookies coming up, but none of them have a spot to play.
Right. Cool.
Shit. Well, yeah, are we over time?
Yes, we are.
Oh, and Mariano Rivera, what do you think of him? Because he's going real late. He's going after, like, Chris Perez.
I thought he retired. Wait a second. Who retired that I was shocked about, that they put the retirement thing out there?
I don't know, but somebody's back. What's the dude, big steroid-looking dude that played for Yankees for so long, and he's an outfielder, and I think his name has a G in it. He just got a minor league contract. Crazy to see this guy back. Goddamn. Pit for power. I would say, I mean, he's been playing in the majors, had to be for so long. What's the dude? You look at him and you would say that guy could be on steroids. Giambi.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Giambi. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Giambi got a minor league contract with somebody.
Well, he'll pick up. He could set the bench and make some money. Oh, hey, you know what?
What?
Brandon Webb retired.
Brandon Webb.
He retired. Let's see here. There was somebody, but there's some other guy that I thought was a pitcher that retired, and I was actually shocked, but I might have just misread something. That's probably what I seen. But I thought it was Rivera.
No, he's coming back. Dude, he's a closer for of the Yankees. And,
right.
You know, he did get hurt, and everybody, I think that people are putting him off kind of like the Lincecum thing because he didn't play really. I mean, the guy didn't have any problems, though. He got hurt. And it wasn't like deteriorating numbers or anything. You look at this guy, he's like the only pitcher ever besides Randy Johnson that can throw a ball right down the middle of the plate and strike batters out. And I think that, you know, hello, look at that. Don't forget about Mariano Rivera because he's going to have the same talent that he did. Yeah, I know he's 50 years old, but it doesn't matter. I would draft him over Andy Pettit any day of the week.
Well, be careful, okay? This is what I didn't misread it, okay? He's made up his decision, but he isn't going to announce it before opening day.
You know Andy Pettit tried to retire, and the freaking mafia of the Yankees was at his front door, dude. We don't have a closer, bitch. Not only do we not have a closer, we don't have a third baseman, a first. I mean, I had, you know, I listened to the Yankee radio, basically.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I actually make a lot of money off the Yankees. I can't deny the fact that the Yankees are perfect. When I go to, like, consignment stores and thrift stores and stuff, I find constant brand-new Yankee sweatshirts and jackets and stuff. And it's like, I'll sell that and make money, but I cringe every time. you know, I cringe. And here's a guy on the radio talking about how, you know, everybody's so quick to say that the Yankees aren't going to be that good. And, you know, this is a team that hit the most home runs in baseball last year, and you know they're going to hit home runs because they always do. And I'm like, I beg to differ, dude. I beg to differ because they hit the most home runs out of any club. But if you look at the end of the season, they couldn't hit a home run to save their lives.
Exactly. Yeah.
And what are you going to do? You're talking about how you have the best right, as far as defense goes, you have the best right field in baseball, the whole right side, and I'm like, dude, Mark Teixeira is not that guy anymore. I like Mark Teixeira, but he's not there. Nick Swisher's gone.
You should be able to get him late in rounds, you know, Teixeira.
Do you even want him? Is he even going to turn? You know, every year he starts turning it on.
I definitely don't play him in the first half of the season. Let's just put it that way.
Right, totally. You just let somebody else draft him, and then when they start to get real fed up with him, you trade somebody that's having, like, a real good start.
Or you pick them up off the waiver wire.
Like James McDonald or somebody that starts the season off good. You roll with that, and you'd be like, here, take this guy. He's doing great. And then you have perfect timing on that because he will, you know, come up with the number somehow.
Okay, here's the deal on Mariano Rivera. He is going to play this year. The question is, will he be back after that? That's what the question is, and he will have that decision before opening day. So
there's a couple, you know, Michael Pineda, right?
Yeah.
Yankee pitcher.
Yes.
I mean, when they asked me, dude, who I thought would be the best pitcher, you know, he's still pitching for Seattle, you know, what pitcher under 25 do you think is going to have the best talent in the next 5 years? He was at the top of my list. This guy's a phenomenal pitcher. I don't know what happened to him. I know he got a DUI after he was already, you know, injured. But the move to Yankee Stadium may or may not have – he might not fit for Yankee Stadium, although he might have had a maturity boost, too, in a way. They're talking about getting him out.
If you get a DUI, do you get a maturity boost, though?
If you could. And I think that your humility goes up a little bit when you get injured and you just have to play in a highly public park like that. I think at first, of course, it's scary, especially when you don't speak the language and all that. Michael Pineda, though, if anybody has talent, this guy, it doesn't just go away, whether or not he's going to be able to utilize it. They were expecting him to come back after the All-Star break, but his rehab has been going very well. They say that he'll be back by June.
That'll be interesting.
People talk about Machado, dude, Manny Machado. Where were you guys talking about Manny Machado last year? Because he sucked. That's why. Because everybody saw his talent. But he was a total failure for the Yankees. And everyone's like, yeah, Manny Machado. I'm like, why do you do that? Because you don't have any other pitcher to, like, root for? Because
no, because they want to say that they picked it and they were right. But how about
and
the
they
other
actually
500
kept him?
That you made a prediction on were wrong?
When did Youkilis say that? I got to find this. Youkilis saying
yeah,
the Red Sox.
Yeah, Youkilis said that he's going to he'll always be a Red Sox.
He's always going to be a freaking
Red Sox.
Something
like that. I heard it on Mike and Mike this morning. So.
Oh, let's look at Coffee. It's way too much money
oh,
for
is he
someone.
Back? I didn't
oh, no, I didn't read what he wrote before.
Oh, okay.
He says, people, Lincecum isn't even a top 10 pitcher in his own division. All-star games are a popularity contest, not a talent reward. What about Cy Young? What about the fact that he, I mean, come on, hello, all the stats are there. Lincecum didn't deserve either Cy Young. You win the World Series as a team, not an individual, so that's not even a valid argument. But you would certainly use the fact that if your pitcher that you liked wasn't doing well and they had no run support, you'd be like, that guy had no run support, man. The team didn't get any scoring runs. That's why his numbers are so bad. That's the kind of cat. Right?
It is. Yeah, he said, here it is. I found it. He says, at the first day of spring training, he says, I'll always be a Red Sox.
Okay, that is not going to go. He's going to get spit on.
Oh, he's already getting razzed about it. And
there's got to be a video on here. I got to find a video to post on Facebook or some crap. So hey, dude, help me out if you have some time, like whenever. I'm preparing like a little intro to my podcast on 911, and that's why I was listening to our old shows because you know there's just little clips here and there that are fun. I'd like to, and it takes a lot of time to do this.
Take a lot of time to do what?
Listen to all these shows and, like, come up with some clips here and there.
Oh, Christ. That just all depends on what you think is worthy enough to
well,
be a
that's
clip.
The thing. That's why you're my partner. And you know. Like, I came up with them.
I normally don't do that, not because I don't have time. Normally it's because I'm just lazy.
I'm so lazy, dude. But it is kind of interesting when you listen to shows from, like, a year ago.
Yeah.
I was listening to when I was saying that, you know, don't be surprised if the Nationals go after Gio Gonzalez. Don't be surprised if Detroit – I was talking about Detroit getting Anibal Sanchez. I was talking about Detroit getting a pitcher first. And then I was talking about Detroit getting Anibal Sanchez. I was like, yeah, that's really cool. But I was also talking about, okay, on a bad note, the stupid Red Sox getting Hanley Ramirez, okay? That didn't pan out. But it is nice to look back and see, you know, just the thought
I'm
process.
I'm afraid to.
You should be.
I'm afraid to. I only listen to the play calls so I can try to better my play calls. That's
feel good.
About the only thing I listen to.
Okay, dude, I'm on my own with the stupid clips.
Well, if you find out which clip you want, I can do the editing for you and get that. Just tell me where it's at and what day, and I can download it and let me know around about where it is in the show, and I can do the editing. And
I'm
going to
pull out the clip of Mitch Moreland, dude. It's just too much comedy, dude. I was actually laughing out loud at that one. Because we were talking
find
about...
out what day. I'll listen to that one, definitely.
I'll
open up a folder for downloading of the show. So I'll know where it is, and then I can play it, and I can edit it and do it for
you. If I send you a bunch of clips, can you put it in a background song? Can you put it into a thing for me?
Very easily.
Sweet. I'll do that, because I have no problem cutting out the clips. I want you to just put them together, and I'll pick out, like, a background song or something.
Yep. Just put them together, and I'll put the background song on it, and we can do it. No problem.
Thanks so much, Couch Potato, and I will see you on Monday.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be around the corner, and I will be here. So make sure everybody gets in on the show, and we'll make sure that the show is more than an hour, because this last 23 minutes we haven't even been live. So we'll just make it a little bit longer, and if we go out, we go out. So be it.
Right. Well, most of our people listen on. I mean, what? Who are we going to depress? Coffee?
What?
Like, who's even going to notice that we're not lying?
Well,
like, nobody listens.
Give him an opportunity to get back in and insult,
right?
Insult
he doesn't even have the balls. Coffee, you have no
more.
Balls. You go in there and you say a bunch of shit, and then you just run. And
yeah,
it's like,
bail.
You know,
well,
he does it just for his own good.
I thought that was funny. He just bailed as soon as I saw his comments on Lincecum. But, you know, I love him, though.
I know he's still listening, too. Come on, Coffee. What happened to you, man?
He's probably at work, and he probably can't be on the computer. But
I don't think
listening.
He works.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
He works at being an ass.
Is he the one that's in his mama's basement? Is he that?
The one dude, I'm sure. I know he goes to school.
Well, you know, the stereotypical guy that's in his mom's basement, you know, kind of thing.
I don't know about that, but I do know he goes to school. So in his defense, we're doing that.
Oh, okay. And that's in his defense then. I'll take it back, Coffee, if you're listening.
Don't take it back.
It's okay. If you're going to school, it's okay to live in your mom's basement.
So next week, Monday, we'll try to start. Let's do the National League East next week. Let's talk about the players at the different positions. We'll get the depth charts printed out, and we'll talk National League East on Monday.
Absolutely.
And then we'll go through each division until it starts. Hello.
Yeah.
It starts
exactly.
At the end of March this year.
Definitely. Yeah, it sounds good. And those who are listening who still need their football fix, join the Couch Potato Sports Show next Thursday for the opening night.
What are you people talking football? Okay, I saw a football pre-mock draft the other day, okay?
Right. Well, you know, this is what? Indoor Football League. I'll be
doing the calls for the indoor sense.
Those that need football and they need it. And the Couch Potato Sports Show is going to be their nicotine patch to get them from the Super Bowl to training camp. So
no,
we got
I
indoor
apologize.
Football going on and stuff. So we're going to do our best to, you know, get their little fix anyway. And
sorry
get them
about
until
that,
next
dude.
Season.
I was actually talking about the people that are drafting football players for next year in the NFL.
Oh, God,
I'm like,
no,
you know,
no,
the guy could be dead, beat up his mother, have two kids by then. I mean, you don't even know.
Be arrested for murder by then and get a couple
right.
of DUIs in
could
the offseason.
Could shoot his foot
you
off.
Know? Yeah, there you go. You know,
see you later,
especially
dude.
Especially if you're a Detroit Lion.
Bye, Couch.
You betcha. See you later. And everybody join us on Monday when we'll do it again here on NBD Media. We'll be talking.
You never know.